We are back at it this morning in our Advent series this year called The Spirit of Christmas, looking at the first chapter in the Gospel of Luke and how the Spirit of Christmas, in other words, the Holy Spirit, is active and at work and orchestrating this entire event. So if you've got a Bible, you can already turn there as I'm talking here. Because our hope this season, as I've mentioned in previous weeks, is to focus specifically on what the Holy Spirit is doing in this first chapter in the Gospel of Luke and in these passages so that we can be more aware and more attentive to what the Holy Spirit might be doing in our own lives in this season of Christmas. Because, as I've said before, the Christmas spirit is not meant to be a mood or a feeling or a kind of disposition that we can just manufacture up. In fact, the more I hear this phrase getting tossed about in this season on TV or in advertisements, the more it kind of starts to bug me because it completely distracts away from the importance of the Holy Spirit's activity at this time of year. It's looking in the totally wrong direction. The Holy Spirit is active and moving all over the pages in this first chapter in Luke. And the Spirit wants to do the same today in us as we welcome and as we anticipate the coming of Emmanuel, God with us. The Holy Spirit seeks to bring this God with us reality to us. The Holy Spirit is God among us. And so he's worth paying attention to. And as I mentioned last week, the way that the Spirit moves in these passages is intentional because each passage kind of builds on the last. The way that the Spirit moves in one story prepares us for how he moves in the next story. We often glaze over these passages, but I don't want us to miss this. Because how the Spirit moves in these passages is a detail that our first century Christian brothers and sisters would never have missed. Because it was new. It was new to them. We glaze over it because it's, you know, familiar, but nothing was old news to them. This was a completely new way for God to be moving among them. They were experiencing the Holy Spirit for the first time. Because God was doing something that he had never done before. And we too need to be ready and prepared to receive what he wants to do in us. So I'm going to invite you again to look at Luke chapter 1. And even if you don't normally open up a Bible because you read the words on the screen, today I want to encourage you to actually grab one of those pew Bibles. Here we go. Grab a pew Bible because there's going to be a couple times where I want you to see it in the context of the whole script, okay? So even if you don't, you know, even if you're not holding it the whole time, just lay it next to you or just have it open to Luke 1, okay? Because I'm going to be resourcing a couple, or there's going to be a couple moments where I want you to see it. We're going to be looking at Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 39. It's a shorter passage this morning, just going to verse 45, okay? And as you turn, I'm just going to adjust my microphone. All right, Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 39. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." This is the word of the Lord. Okay, so if you were here or you tuned in last week, you might remember that Mary was visited by the angel Gabriel, who gave her this message that the Holy Spirit would come upon her, would literally overshadow her, and conceive within her a child. Prior to that, this same angel Gabriel visited the priest Zechariah in the temple and had given him the message that he too would have a son with his wife Elizabeth, even though they were both well beyond, or despite their old age, I should say. Two biological miracles, okay? We talked about this last week. Two biological miracles in two stories that build on one another. Because in one, the Holy Spirit is filling a child before he is even born. And in the other, a child is being formed only because of the Holy Spirit. Now, believe it or not, that's not it. The Spirit has not yet checked all of the boxes on his to-do list. There is yet more to come. Because here in this next scene, we see Mary rushing off to go and find her cousin Elizabeth, a woman who, as she's been told by the angel in verse 36, is also experiencing a miraculous situation. And considering this situation, it may seem to us pretty obvious why Mary would then run to her cousin, but we have to think about this for a minute. Think about the options that Mary would have had, right? She doesn't run to her parents. Maybe she didn't have any, we don't know. But she doesn't run to her parents. She doesn't run to Joseph. She doesn't run into complete solitude out of fear of what others are going to think. She also doesn't start buying, you know, Carter's clothes on sale and looking up nursery furniture on Pinterest, okay? Mary is shaping her response to run to Elizabeth based entirely on what the angel has told her. In other words, she got the hint. Gabriel intentionally told Mary about Elizabeth, not just to assure her that everything that she's going to be experiencing is within the context of God's greater plan, but also to be comforted by someone who is going through the exact same thing that she is. In this rather unconventional situation, Mary knows exactly who she can run to. We all know what it's like to be going through something difficult and to be able to have somebody come alongside of you who's either gone through the same thing or knows what you're going through and can walk with you in it. Here are two women who have been given the gift of conception and naturally, of course, would have had all sorts of reasons to feel joyful about it, but there were also, of course, several reasons why they also would have struggled with this news. Okay? For both of them, possible shame, embarrassment, rumors, we all know how terrible those can be, humiliation for Mary, possible divorce and public scorn, maybe even in extreme circumstances, death. God knew that these women would need each other to walk through this season. Henry Nouwen once said that self-understanding and spiritual depth is encouraged by having a sturdy spiritual companion walking with you. And that's exactly what these women are for each other. Spiritual companions. What is God doing? I don't know. Let's talk about it. What is God doing in you? I don't know. Maybe he's doing something in me. Oh, I don't know. Let's talk about it. Mary takes the hint and she runs to Elizabeth because that's what the angel told her to do or hinted that she should do. She bursts into Elizabeth's home, right? Snotty nose, mascara running, tears all over her dress, looking for someone with whom she can share this absurd situation that she's been put in, completely overwhelmed, and looking for somebody who might actually believe her. And she doesn't even have to say anything before she is assured on the spot that Gabriel gave her the right person to run to. Look at verse 41. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear." Just a beautiful moment, right? This whole story is just a delightful story, and we've probably gotten so used to reading it a certain way that we actually missed what just happened. What's strange about what just happened? Did you notice it? Think about how the Holy Spirit has moved in these last two scenes, okay, in these last couple of weeks. Gabriel told Zechariah that the baby would be filled with the Holy Spirit, okay? The angel told him that. Their soon-to-be-born son, who they named John, will be filled with the Spirit before he's even born. Great, right? There's nothing in there about Elizabeth. But now someone has walked into her home, who, according to that same angel, is also carrying the presence of the Holy Spirit within her because of the child that's been conceived, as we read in verse 35. So Mary is also now filled and carrying the presence of the Spirit. So if you think about this, okay, think about this. Inside of Elizabeth's womb is a baby who's been filled by the Spirit. Coming into her home is a relative carrying the presence of the Holy Spirit. She's getting Holy Spirit sandwiched right now. Now, that's not a theological term, but I think it's true nonetheless. She's got John inside of her, filled with the Spirit. Mary's walking in, who's also been filled by the Spirit. And now look, verse 41. Elizabeth, too, is filled by the Holy Spirit. It's like he's contagious or something. But she didn't need an angel to tell her. She gets a holy kick from her prophetic son within her, who is still being formed and prepared by the Spirit for the work that he's going to do to make a people ready for the king. And already now, that Holy Spirit is inspiring him to let his mom know that the king has just come into the room. And I know you can probably already guess what I'm going to ask you, because we're at that point in the sermon. Are you willing to get a kick from the Holy Spirit this Christmas season, declaring to you that the King is in the room? That he is in this place. That this isn't just a nice thought, but an actual reality. Because that's the Spirit's favorite thing to do. To remind us over and over again that the Lord's presence is here. That we aren't alone, that we actually have the presence of Jesus Christ here among us. And it should pain us, actually, that we so often take the efforts of the Holy Spirit for granted. Because any story that I've ever come across, any testimony that I've ever come across of someone who didn't formerly know Jesus but is now following him, for that person, the Holy Spirit was everything. Because he orchestrated the whole thing. I recently came across the testimony of a woman by the name of Lucia Thompson, who was formerly a Reiki master. Now, if you're unfamiliar with it, Reiki is a Japanese healing practice where the practitioner sort of hovers their hands over their patient to channel what they call a universal life energy. Okay, so they're seeking to put out bad energy, bring in good energy. And how she got into that was that at the age of 17, she got pregnant. And having grown up in a home of abusive parents and abusive alcohol and drugs, she got into partying and drugs as a means of coping. And by the time she was 23, she was looking for peace in her life for her and her son at the time. Any kind of peace to help change the direction that her life was going. Now, interestingly, she had actually believed in God her whole life, but she didn't know where to look for him. And what I found really interesting, but also really sad about her story, and she says this, was that no one ever told her to try praying. She had no one in her life who ever told her to try church, or to try seeking God in one of those places, or anything like that. So instead, she tried meditation. And what ended up happening was that she didn't find peace, but she had a kind of outer body spiritual experience. And one of her friends at the time told her that she had a gift, probably from God, a gift from God to be able to tap into spiritual energies. So that's what she pursued. She made her life practicing Reiki, eventually adding on other kind of occult practices, psychic mediums, card readings, etc. She was just inundated with this stuff. But then eventually, life presented her with problems that these practices weren't resolving. And around the same time, her son, who was now 12 years old, came across a Christian, was befriended by a Christian, who told him about Jesus, and he became convinced that God is real and that Jesus is who he says he is. Well, at the same time that was happening, she started seeing the words of Psalm 91 everywhere. It was really strange, but these words, "Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty." Now again, we read that and we think, okay, great, but what is that shadow? Well, maybe the same shadow that overshadowed Mary. In other words, what was happening? The Holy Spirit was pursuing her. And Lucia soon felt a compulsion, she said, a strong conviction that she just couldn't ignore, and only later attributed to the presence of the Holy Spirit, because there was no doubt in her mind that she needed to leave her former life behind. Now, it wasn't easy, of course. It was quite a spiritual battlefield for a number of months. But now, apparently, she co-owns this cafe in Wales, in Bangor, Wales, called Open Heavens, with her now husband, the man who started the cafe and whose passion in life is to see people encounter the Holy Spirit. The two of them now spend their days literally praying with people who walk through the doors of the cafe, seeking for them to sense the presence of the Spirit, hoping that when they walk in the doors, they sense the presence of the Holy Spirit. And yeah, they see miracles on a regular basis. So what then? What now is the source of Lucia's joy? Well, the same thing that inspired joy in our passage this morning. The same thing that inspired the joy in John and Elizabeth. Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who still inspires our joy today. The Holy Spirit who makes it clear that God is doing something and that Lucia was a part of it. The Spirit who had been shared with her so that she could share him with others. Look at what happens in this scenario. Look at the chain reaction that happens in our passage today, okay? When Mary brings Jesus into the room, okay, Jesus, who is being formed by the Holy Spirit, that same Spirit then lets baby John know, baby John who's being filled by the Spirit, that Spirit lets the Spirit in John know of who's just come in the room. John then lets his mom know who's filled by the Holy Spirit. And his mom then bursts out and affirms Mary that she has, yes, in fact, just brought the king into the room. Elizabeth is filled by the Spirit. And what does the Spirit do? He reveals Christ to her. That's what the Spirit does. Elizabeth knows that Mary is the mother of her Lord, because the Spirit reveals this to her. And there is now no one in this story who doesn't have the Holy Spirit somehow operating within them. And I can't think of a better example in Scripture than this one that provokes us or encourages us to ask the key question. If the Holy Spirit did that then, this kind of communal filling and exchanging of the knowledge of Jesus, does the Holy Spirit still do this today? And if the answer is yes, which I think Lucia's testimony confirms, then we would all do well to consider the power that there is when we as believers come together, all of us carrying in the presence of Jesus, making Holy Spirit sandwiches and proclaiming to one another that the King is in the room. Christ is in this space. with us. It's not just a nice idea or a theological concept. He's here with us. And asking the Holy Spirit to deepen this truth within us dramatically reshapes the way that we come and worship together. I mean, okay, humor me for a moment, just as a thought exercise. Picture Jesus somewhere in this space, okay? Just picture him somewhere. Maybe he's sitting behind the piano, just loving it. Just loving every minute of this service. Maybe he's sitting next to you, assuring you that he's with you and it's all going to be okay. Maybe he's standing at the cross, constantly drawing our gaze to what he's done for us. Honestly, who of us in this room doesn't need a kick from the Holy Spirit to remind us that Christ is here? That his Holy Spirit wants to inspire us and transfer his joy and his excitement for Jesus to us. Back and forth and start many chain reactions like he did with Mary and Elizabeth. Or that maybe his Holy Spirit wants to use you to transfer his joy to someone else. Do you believe that that's even possible? That while you're maybe speaking with someone and sharing the joy that you have in the Christ of Christmas, that the true spirit of Christmas is working through you? There is no greater joy than the joy that the Holy Spirit can build within us. And I know that for certain because look at the text in verse 44. When Elizabeth tells Mary that the baby in her womb leaped for joy, that word there in Greek isn't actually the typical word that's used for joy. It's a different word. Here it actually means extreme joy, often in the context of exaltation or worship. In other words, extreme worship-filled joy. It's not happiness. It's not just contentment. It's worship-filled joy. That's what John is doing in utero. He leaps for joy. Kind of like in the Old Testament, how David, King David, leaped and danced in front of the Ark of the Covenant. He's worshiping. And now I want you to look in your Bible. Look at what immediately happens after. Mary, now, inspired by the work of the Holy Spirit within her, does what? She sings. She worships. My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he's been mindful of the humble state of his servant. When the Holy Spirit, in other words, is given space and freedom to move within us and to be shared, exultant, joy-filled worship that draws attention to the glory and presence of Jesus Christ is the result. And yes, Mary was called blessed, not just by Elizabeth, but by generations of Christians after. Why? Not because of any of her own merit, not because of anything that she did that was good, but because she was receptive to the work of the Holy Spirit. She believed what the angel said and was receptive to what God wanted to do in her. You too are blessed. Blessed are you too when you are receptive to and overshadowed by the Spirit, who fills you with worshipful joy because the King is in the room. Blessed are we, all of us, when the Spirit moves with power and is shared through each one of us, so much so that He fills up this whole space. So that when people walk in the door, when we walk in the door, we sense Him here. Joy, music. Friends, I want to encourage you this morning. Let yourself be kicked by the Holy Spirit this Christmas. Let Him toss you around. Let Him challenge you. Let Him fill you and encourage you and reveal Christ to you. Because many people are looking for Him. They just don't know where to look. They just don't know where to look. Let Christ be revealed in you this season. Let's pray. Living God, we thank You for the blessing of Your word. We thank You for the ways that Your Holy Spirit still today continues to reveal new things to us, to demonstrate for us over and over again that Your Spirit desires to do new things among us, to fill us anew, to reveal You to us in a new way. And we pray, Lord, that as we continue in worship this morning, and as we share in communion with one another, that Your Holy Spirit would be in this place revealing Jesus to us. That we would sense You here in the room, and that our worship would be oriented towards the King who is on His throne. May our worship be filled with a spirit gladness and joy because of You. We pray this in Your name, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Willoughby Church Sermon Podcast. The Willoughby Church Podcast Network also has podcasts about discipleship, the Heidelberg Catechism, and even a podcast hosted by some of the youth. You can find out more about the Willoughby Church Podcast Network by going to willoughbychurch.com.